Good morning.
Here's the first thing on my notes to treat this message for you today, and I really hope you'll lean in. Here's the first word. It's written on my notes. Good morning, class.
Very good. That's very good.
Now, what this is a class to set you up for a new year. I'm not romantic about these moments, all right? I'm so glad that sucker's leaving right now. I made it through. And you made it through. And yes, I agree the words that Lynn spoke. I agree the words what Linda prayed right now. I believe what the word says in my forward looking. But I kind of see these times. I think we all do as we get a little bit older. We see these times a little bit different. Somebody said it this way. He said, the reason I'm old and wise is because God protected me when I was young and stupid. How many of you can say God protected you when you were young and stupid? And that brings you to that point right now. And I'm not wise in my own, but it is before God. You've heard that old statement. It's not in the Bible anywhere, but it should be somewhere. Have you ever seen people just stumble through life and things seem to work? You know, people, they don't plan for things and things just fall into place. And we always kind of laugh. God helps drunks and fools. Have you ever heard that right now? And you wonder how they even got home. But there's something deeper than that right now. Not that, because we get to a point where we get romantic and we make these resolutions. How many of us make the resolution on an eve, and then by the 2nd of January, that's shot to pieces right there? But it sounds good, and we get to hook in arms and get to sing sad songs. But here's what I believe in, and you see, you got to understand. You remember last week when I talked about the joy of Christmas, and I said the problem with the world today, the problem even with the wisdom of the world today, they are trying to find the joy. That only the source of joy can receive. Help us to receive in our lives. He is the source of joy that gives that to us. And if we try to divorce our seeking of our wisdom and the joy and the satisfaction and the blessing of our lives apart from that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there's a problem there. Where a lot of times people are making resolutions and it's with fingers crossed and it's like they're hoping for something to happen. Can I just tell you this though? As the child of God and in anything, whatever you're believing for, whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're looking forward to do, forget the miracles, forget these things if you ignore walking in the holiness of the Word of God. There are a lot of people that want God to do magic in their lives. They want God to do miracle in their lives, but they don't want to take the time to lay the word and the foundation and to be consistent in their lives with that thing right there. And there's an element there. Of course, God is sovereign. I don't have to explain that to you. I don't have to explain to you God can do what he wants to do. But I see that through this pathway many times, and even in the scripture there, God speaks the word, and it's incumbent upon us not only to believe the word, to act on the word, but to move toward that word and do the things in our natural life that we know how to clear out or to move through or to navigate through that gets us closer to that. Does that make any sense right now? A lot of people, they get in a problem where the front end, we should have behaved ourselves. We should have followed what the word of the Lord said. I heard somebody say the other day, have a safe new year and never do any things you wouldn't want to have to explain to the paramedics. All right. And you get in hey, watch this, famous last words. You don't want to be in that situation. And yet people get in these things and they ask for miracles and behavior wise, they have put themselves in a situation. And now you're asking God, get me out of this. Every new year. You remember the optimism over the years you had? I got to tell you, I'm not optimistic in the natural. Now, my personality is to be optimistic. But in the natural of the life we are walking through right now, I'm not optimistic if it stays on this course right now. I'm not optimistic if the same people are making the same decisions. I'm not optimistic if we're pushing the same buttons but expecting something different to happen when we do that. Today, I think people are a little more wise in some areas. You know, the PSYOP that we've all been put through for the last 2 years or so, it's been an intentional thing that's been done, and you must understand these things. And if you're not aware of that, if you're not awake to these things, please do not be naive. Please do not be naive. Please do not think. Please, you need to know that evil is loose in the world, and what we've gone through is a premeditated, it's not an accident. It was brought to us on purpose, and it was very, very easy to take us down. It was very easy, and that should concern. So I'm not optimistic if these same people are doing these things, because I know what they're capable of doing. In fact, they're capable of things I never dreamed of. How do you dream up some of the perverted things? How do you dream up these things right now? How do you dream this up when the guy in American government that handles the posting away of nuclear waste steals suitcases from women so he can wear their clothes? That's nuts. That's nuts. So I don't trust any of it. I don't trust any of it right now. I do know what I trust. I do know trust the word that has got me through this far. I do know the word that touched you. I do know the word that changed your life. I do know that word. I respect that word. I am very, very optimistic, but we're at a point right now that clearly there is more fear than faith in our world today. People are fearing a new year because it can only get worse. And this is true without the intervention of God. It is true unless people of faith stand up and scream. It is true unless the people of faith stand up and speak the word and say, this is the way, walk in it. And they have reasons to be fearful. Gallup's latest poll came out and said, Americans right now are less optimistic and more fearful than they've been at any other time in our lives. I was reading a thing that they came out, I think it was in the London, one of the London papers, and I was reading it just yesterday, and they were talking about the spike in mysterious deaths all of a sudden that are happening, and they listed that as 1 and 2, but they said 3 and 4, the causes of spiking cause of death in our world today, people are dying because of fear, and they're dying because of anxiety. Linda and I were talking about someone we knew when we were little bitty children, and we remember vaguely the story that this beautiful lady and an elegant lady, and the family went through a hardship, a financial hardship, and the man lost the job, disappeared, and the money disappeared, and things were lost, and because of the loss of that, this dear one went into a deep depression. And it was to the point that they couldn't pull out of it. Now this is a very sad thing, but it's very, very real. It's very real. You don't tell these kind of stories with a spirit of arrogance. You tell it in two things. That is so sad, number one. But Lord, help me not. Help me not to let this be a lesson for me right now. Gallup says Americans are less optimistic. What are you afraid of? A lot of us are afraid of a lot of different things. You know, they tell you those little things. You're afraid to stand up and talk, or you're afraid to do this. But I'm afraid for the decisions. And I'll tell you this, fear is a monster. Fear is a monster. But faith is our master if we stay with it. I do not say it lightly. It's very real. Fear is very powerful. I have to really tell you honestly this morning, there have been times in my life, and you know nothing about it. In fact, most people don't know anything about it. There are some things that I only know about it, that the fear inside of me was so big I didn't know what I was going to do. Nobody else knows it. And the fear inside of me, and you can't tell me it wasn't real. And I didn't need somebody speaking Christian ease to me going, oh, just snap out of it. No, you don't understand. I can't snap out of it. I think I'm going out of my mind. And every one of us have had these things. But on the other side of that, you say, oh, God, thank you. You don't say it with arrogance. You say it with a high hand of victory, like it said when they walked out of Egypt that day and they were free. And it said they had a high hand when they walked out. But we all have been through those times. And I wrote, there have been times when I thought fear would kill me, when uncertainty. Fear is a monster. People are afraid even of a new year because there is no hope for anything better than what they have. The great writer Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, fear defeats more people than any other one thing in the world. Fear defeats more people than any one thing in the world. And I got to tell you something. Hell smells the fear in you. You know, they talk about the animals. An animal can smell fear. And you've heard those stories. Don't let that animal smell fear. Well, I'm sorry. I'm fearful. And I'm emitting something. I don't know. I'm fearful right now. Animals. They said animals can fear. And dogs. You know, we go in places and dogs. Dogs see Linda. Dogs just run up to Linda. I love you. And they just run to her all the time. They want to rub their you know, and stand there. They'll stand and look up at her. But when you're fearful some people are fearful of dogs. And fearful of different animals. Well, it's very, very real. But like an animal, once Satan smells the fear in you, look out. Because what he's going to do, he will harass you. And he will remind you that you were afraid always. When you get a little bit of faith and you get a little ahead and things are going good and you're feeling real good and all of a sudden you get a report that brings fear. All right, I'm not with these people that deny that. That is a real thing, but that is not going to have dominion over me. You know, Paul wrote these things. Fear is real, but that fear does not have dominion over me. It is there. I see it, but it's not going to lock in and be the thing that leads me and draws me right now. Back when I was very, very young, I vaguely remember seeing him pitch, but I remember back in the 60s, the great pitcher Don Drysdale, and Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax made that great pitching team for the Dodgers for all of those years and those great battles with the Yankees. Don Drysdale was a very big man, but he was a very intimidating man, and he was one kind of guy that would just try to blow you away. Somebody said Don Drysdale, if he saw his grandmother at the plate, he'd brush her off there. Don Drysdale said this: the pitcher has to find out if the batter is timid. And if he is timid, he has to remind the batter that he is timid. Is that the wildest quote? That's true. If the devil knows you're timid, he's gonna remind you that you are. You're not good enough. You're fearful. You are timid. What a great quote that is. He has to remind the hitter, and that's what hell does. Here's what you got to do. You've got to guard your minds. You have to guard your thoughts, because the things that you have placed, those will be the things that take root in your mind. First thing, guard those things. I was so fortunate on a couple of occasions to spend time with the great motivator Zig Ziglar. You ought to read his stuff. Zig said it this way: don't believe everything you think. And as you move into a brand new year, I want to tell you that. Don't believe everything you think. Why do people, though, even Christians, fall for the fear? Why do Christians and people of all sorts fall for lies? Why do they, in any bad report, they just lock in on it? You know, there was, God really told a story one time when he sent 10 guys in to come back with a report. And the two guys that came with the report of "we can do it," they were in the minority. 20%, only 20% of the group. How many of God didn't go, oh Lord, oh me. What about those other 80%? The bottom line was this: what report are you going to believe? What report are you going to believe? And you've got those Moses said these things. If God's God, you better serve him. Whose side are you going to be on? Joshua had to do those things. And then when Gideon, whose side are you going to be on? Like Colonel Travis at the Alamo drawing that line. Are you going to come over here and stay with me? Or are you going to live in fear right now? That's what the word of God says for me today. Which one are you going to believe? Why is there a problem? Why do Christians, even Christians that speak the word, pray the word, and say the word, they get to the point that the fear paralyzes them? And why is it? It's a very, you're going to go, I know that already. When Tyler was little, he didn't speak very plainly and clearly for a while when he was very, very young. But he would say something and she would be teaching him something or showing him something, and his little bit of impatience would come up in him. And he was a real yat when he was talking early. It was these, those, and that's, you know what I mean? And so she would say, Tyler, this, and Tyler would go, I know that already. I know that already. And even yesterday in our house, I was saying something to her, and she said, I know that already. And we say it forever. Well, you're going to know this. What's the problem? The problem is this: the word level is low. See, because Paul instructs us and gave us classic insight in Romans 12, verse 2, where he said, don't copy. Stop right there. Don't copy. You're used to King James and New King James word that says, do not be conformed. Or even a deeper word is this: do not allow this to mold you. They talk about when you're teaching and training kids, you're molding them. That when they come to you, they're only minds of mush. And you have to mold them and point them and shoot them like arrows to a target there. Don't copy. Don't be conformed. Don't be molded to the behavior and the customs of this world. See that right there? This is where fear is way high, when we are molded, when we are conformed, and when we have copied the customs and the traditions of this world. But, I love that, let God transform you into a new person. Well, that's a cool thing. But how does that happen, God? Are you going to wiggle your nose? He said, no, it happens by changing the way you think. Notice the word that says, let God do this, but it will happen if you change the way you think. Isn't that unusual? If you don't pay attention, it goes by real quickly. Changing how you think, the traditional word you hear in your mind is the renewing of your mind. You know what that means? Going back to the original factory settings. This is how you were spit out, that mind. When you had the garden, they were good, but they decided, they got corrupted. And when we were born into sin, we were automatically corrupted, and we need to go back to God's intention in the original settings. All right, let God transform you, watch, by changing the way you think. Next statement, next sentence. Then, that's a time word, okay? Something has happened and time has passed. Then, when this is done, you will learn. One word says, you will realize to know God's will for you. And you need to know that is good, that is pleasing and perfect. You've heard stories in scriptures and messages about renewing our minds. But how do we do that? With what do we renew our minds? We renew our minds with and by the Word of God. Stop right here. Every one of you go, yes, amen, you're smiling and grinning at me. Why aren't we doing that? Because we don't stay on it. And you got to stay on it. You got to stay on it. You got to stay on it. Here's the statement I wrote for you this morning. It is the only solution. And as long as man keeps looking for other ways, his mind will never be renewed to the things of God. As long as man is looking for a solution, looking for joy other than the real source of joy, like I said last week, unless a man, it is the only solution with and by the Word of God. It is the only solution. This is our problem in the world today. You can say anything you want to say unless it is regarding the definitive word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can say anything. You can say any old crazy philosophy. They'll let you have a meeting somewhere. They'll drink coffee. They'll sit in a circle. They'll fold their legs. They'll do their fingers and they'll hum together in the same. They'll burn little things. They'll do all kind of stuff. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Oh man, all these genius things like this. Yeah, love means never having to say you're sorry. Oh yeah, it does. Oh, nonstop, over and over. All this new age foolishness. New age is just recycled hippie stuff. But it's the only solution. The Word of God is the only solution. The Word of God is the only solution. I'm trying to get this through to you. The Word of God. Well, look at it. I don't have any. Yeah, that's right, because the Word of God is the only solution. The Word of God is the only solution. The Word of God. And by the way, it is the only offer that is worth taking, but yet we'll take everything but that. It's like the Word is under the little glass thing on the walls of the schools, only break in case of an emergency. Because we don't automatically think that way. So as we enter a new year, I can walk in faith. I can walk in optimism. Because I know this much, the Word has it all. The Word has it all. Some people may think that's kind of simplistic. No. It's just truth. The Word has it all. You know, we were talking about something. Linda was reading something yesterday, and it was really, really funny. She read this scripture, and she was reading it within thinking of someone in a certain situation, a certain need. And what's funny, I said, you know, there's about two or three levels where, and the point was, wherever you are in your walk and in your seeking, that Word of God fits, and I've been saying this for 3 weeks now, one size fits all in the scripture, and it meets you where you are. Does that make sense? How many of you ever read a scripture that you've known all your life, but one day when you're in a real seeking mode, one day when you're in, and all of a sudden you just, how many of you ever read something and said, God, when did you put that in the Bible? Did you just sneak that in? And you've read it over and over, but it's at that moment. Am I making sense to you? It's like, guys, it's this way. Guys, you're driving your car and everything's fine, but one day you start looking at another car and you get that car fever, and that one car that you like, you see it everywhere. Does that happen to you guys? Does that happen to me? You see it everywhere. You ladies, there's something you see it everywhere. That's the way it should be inside of us right now when we see things. Hey, yeah, that's it right there. I see it. I see it as clear and as plain as day. The word is the only answer. I love to read some of the things that J.I. Packer has written, and he's talking about how the Word has it all. He said, the Psalms teach us how to worship. Proverbs teaches how to behave. Job teaches us how to suffer. Song of Solomon, how to love. Ecclesiastes, how to live. We could go on and on with every book there. Every answer is in that book in front of you right now. Every answer is there. But yet we are at a point in time where we're still fearful, we're afraid, and we act like we don't know what's going on right now. But the problem is fear is taking over, and the word has not been the priority for a season on the inside of us. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, half of our fears arise from the neglect of the Bible. Too simple for you? So when fearful, here's how the word can comfort you. It will comfort you, and here's an if. It will comfort you if you get it in your mind first. That's where it all happens right there. And when you read that against fear, and you read the scripture and put it against your natural fears, it gets smaller and it fades. As the old song said, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. What's this have to do with you? Everything. I love Isaiah 43. O Israel, the one who formed, what's that? And created you. Do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. He said, I created what? You. I formed. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed. I have called. All right, remember that. You can do a little, that's pretty tepid, okay? I'm working really, really hard right now. And I'd appreciate a little bit coming back at me on these yous, all right? I have called by name are mine. Verse 2, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let me give you some revelation. Ready? You is you. You is you. You is you. You is me. Don't give me a grammar lesson. I mean, this is poetic license I have standing here. You is you. Is you is or is you ain't my baby. We've sung it for years. You is you. You is you. Formed you. Called you. You are mine. When you go through, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, when you will not be burned up. Flames will not consume. You, I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So according to this word, once you come to the realization of the fact that you is you, hell, in fact, if I look at it from the last part of that second verse, if you come to the realization of you is you, that means hell can't drown you. Hell can't burn you. Hell can't consume you, if I paraphrase the verse that is right ahead. Because you, you, You are walking, you are living in the rarefied air of the walk of faith. The rarefied air of faith, and you're not living in a dungeon of fear. And by the way, verse 11 in the same chapter, he says, yes, I just need to remind you, I am the Lord. There is no other Savior. Do you see the punctuation that he slams there? Yeah, but I'm feeling real good right now. I'm making my New Year's affirmation, but things are going to change come Monday, and I'm back into, you know, somebody said the sweet by and by. No, I live in the nasty now and now, somebody said right now. I like all these things he said. I like all these promises, but how long does this last? When does this expire? Linda found in her bag the other day a small, I think $25, $30 gift certificate. Somebody gave her like a couple years ago. And y'all find those ones you can't find? And then you got to decide if you're going to go to that place and try to just kind of, hey, you'll take this one. Or you're playing that game there right now. Because the expiration date had passed a year or so ago. What's the expiration date? Oh, I feel real good. This is great. I feel real good. My faith is high. Here's what he said, verse 13. He said, because from eternity to eternity, the book ends. From eternity to eternity, I am God. I am God. And I told you, and I say it over and over, this is the greatest whosoever will message. When she read John 3:16, that's the word. That's the word there. It's the whosoever will. It is for all of us. Once you know that you is you, and once you know that it was all done for you, and it was done for me, and it was done for all of us right now. And here's what he said. From eternity to eternity, I am God. Watch this. So no one can snatch anyone out of my hand. You try to take that out of his hand, you're going to get slapped. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand, and no one can undo what I have done to you and for you. So we don't walk in fear. There's only one time we should walk in fear, and that is the fear of God Almighty. And that's what we've lost today also. That's another reason we're in our problem. The word is low, so we don't respect the word. We don't understand the word. We do not believe the word. And Christians face that right now. Because if this is the only time you're talking to God for an hour and 15 minutes on a drive-through once a week, you're going to get blown by every wind. You're going to believe everybody on TV. You're going to believe everything in the newspaper. And the media is corrupt. The media is corrupt right now. The media is corrupt. They are covering multitudes of sin and perversion right now. They are doing it intentionally. It is not by accident right now. It is corrupt, but they do not fear God. And the problem with Israel, they got into trouble when they no longer feared God. The only time you should ever be in fear is, and I don't mean cringing terror, but it is a respect. It is an honor of who he is. I respect that. 2 Kings 17:39 in the English Standard Version, but you shall fear the Lord your God. You is you. He is the one who will rescue you from all your enemies. It's not the plans. He is the only one that can save us. So here's what I'm saying. I read the word right there in Isaiah. I read the word in 2 Kings. But you need to know this concept does not change when you move into a New Testament. In fact, between the Testaments, the promise never changed. In fact, between the Testaments, the promise amplified. It amplified. Read 2 Timothy verse 1. You know this so well, but I'll read it to you anyway. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Self-discipline, by the way. Self-discipline is really the better word there, dealing with our mind right there. He's not given, first off, take that first line there. For he's not given us not just fear, but what is fear? It is a spirit of fear. What are we dealing with in the world today? What are we dealing with? You are dealing with a spirit not like God. So when you feel the spirit of fear in there, antennas need to go, that's not like God. That condemnation is not like God. It is not from God. It's not God's mode of operation right now. By the way, though, fear does not just leave. Fear doesn't just leave. You know what has to happen to fear? Because it's a spirit. You got to cast that sucker out. You got to speak to that fear, and don't do it in your own way, or you'll be like the little guys trying to imitate the disciples and the apostles one day. And they went up, they decided that they were going to speak. They were going to speak against the demon spirit, and they were imitators. They didn't have the word there. And the demons jumped on these little preacher dudes, and it says it scared them and shook them up so bad. They were running down, screaming down the street, and their clothes were blew off of all of them right now. The demon just blew them out of their clothes and made a mockery of them because they were trying to imitate something they did not know and they did not have. You got to cast it out. And I've had to do this. I've had to do this by myself. I've been in my car. I've been in a room. I remember one time I was at a place. I was outside one day, and I was at a place where there should be a lot of joy. And this thing of fear came over me, and I was by myself. And I remember right now, and I remember saying, you know, this is not God. And I had to say that. By the way, I said it once, and nothing happened. I had to say it again. Nothing happened. But I decided I was going to walk away from that moment. And then I realized, and I forgot all about it, and it was gone. And in the process of me moving forward, based on what I had said in my mouth, God came in there and moved that thing, and it was no longer fearful, nor was it even important in my life. You got to command an unclean spirit to leave. And a spirit of fear is an unclean spirit. And by the way, if you cast a spirit out and you do not put the Spirit of God back in that place, something worse comes in there. If you don't sweep your house after you cast that demonic thing of fear out of your heart and life and decide your name, if you don't load that up with the Spirit of God, something worse is going to come in and you're going to be in worse shape down the road. You command the spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. Why do I do that? Because that is a promise that has been given to me. And by the way, there will be a test. There's going to be a test. There'll be a test. Multiple tests. Pop quizzes. Let's look deeper, though, at that chapter. You know verse 7. You got bumper stickers of it. But look at verse 13 of chapter 2. So hold fast. All right, we're talking about not letting a spirit of fear take over us. And we're talking about the education and the changing of our mind, really the re-education of the fleshly mind and bringing it under into subjection, just like you would have to train an animal, like you would train a child, like you would train a trainer would put his body down. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. What does that mean? That means wholesome teaching. If you're listening to everything you're hearing on the radio, you know, you're going to get real confused if you're hearing the man of faith every 15 minutes for 28 hours, right? I mean, over and over. What is the word there? You're going to hear a lot of things, and you need discernment. Hold fast to the pattern of wholesome teaching or sound words, which you have heard from me. Had Paul been giving him sound words? He'd been training that young man. Notice you've heard from me in faith. One translation goes deeper. I have actually shaped, these words have shaped you in faith. They have molded you. They have conformed you with faith, coming into that mold there of faith and in the love which are in Christ Jesus, these words. And those are the words that will touch people. That good thing, in other words, the words of truth, conforming our mind to the word, that good thing, or I wrote in my margin, that precious truth that I've given to you, which was committed or entrusted to you, I want you to keep this by the Holy Spirit. I could actually say, I want you to keep this by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you cast out a spirit of fear. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and dwells in us. So here's your out-of-the-box beginning, though. Where does this all begin? How do we submit ourselves to God? Again, another New Testament word you're so familiar with. He said, I beg you, brothers, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of our God, that you present your bodies. That means everything included, your thinking, your thoughts, your desires, your wants, your dreams, your disappointments, all of these things, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We read it so romantic, but sacrifice hurts, though, sometimes, doesn't it? You know what a sacrifice is? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. At certain levels, it's going to cost you more than at other times in your life when God's doing something. You've heard the story of the chicken and the pig. They're out in the yard, and they said, it's time for breakfast. And the chicken said, okay. And the pig looks at him. He said, breakfast to you is a donation. He said, breakfast to me is a sacrifice. Present your bodies a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is the reasonable thing. It's the reasonable way we can serve God. Start a new year by giving ourselves to God afresh. A reasonable service. Now I read what I read when we walked in the door. So do not be molded to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove this, what is that good, that acceptable, perfect will of God. Remember these words when the faith starts creeping up on you come Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. It can be done. And when the fear gets louder, run back to that word. And then when it keeps fighting, rinse and repeat. Do it over and over again. But I have to tell you, I'm very, very concerned about the things we're facing in our world today. So therefore, I must dress appropriately for the challenge each day. See, if you're not ready for each day, or you're not already clothed, and everything, you're going to get thrown by every little thing that comes. But it is a spirit. Remember, I said spirit of fear. That spirit of fear has been rattling our world for the last few years. But it has been for many, many years. But it's a spirit. If you'll recognize it, it's a spirit. You'll be able to handle it better. Alan Jackson said it this way: the spirit of Antichrist is raging in our world, standing boldly and decrying against anyone who would dare to believe in the uniqueness of Jesus. We're going to have to renew our minds and put on the full armor of God. Here's a new year for you. We're going to have to renew our minds and put on the full armor of God. And this message intertwines with the last words of Jesus to his disciples, and I give to you on the last day of this year. I said to his disciples, but you know what that means? You. Because as we learned today, you is you. You is you. And Jesus is getting ready to leave, and the boy's saying, man, it's been quite a ride. Now you're going to leave us? He said, but I want you to know these things. Now, remember, I've been giving you these words. Remember when Paul said, I've taught you these things in faith. I've imparted them to you so that it will help mold your mind and not the world. Remember, I've given all these words. Famous last words are very important. It's always fun to read famous last words of people. They actually say that Conrad Hilton, the famous hotelier, they claim some of his last words were, the shower curtain goes in the tub. True. Shower curtain goes in the tub. Last words recorded by Matthew. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given. You is who? Me. I like that too. And be sure of this. I'm afraid. Be sure of this. Last words of Jesus Christ. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in the meantime, it's prudent to know the risk that we're facing in our world today. We need to be smart. We need to think. We need to plan. We need to prepare. We need to have discernment radar going big time. We'll talk more on that when I talk about working on wisdom. And you should be aware. You should be concerned. You should be dialed in. But let me say this, irrational fear will steal your life, it'll steal your happiness, and literally, as the statistic said, released a few days ago, literally this fear can kill you. It will shorten your lifespan. We will walk through difficulty. He said, when you do this, when you do that, when you do these things, we may walk through, but you is you. I'm with you. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today, on the final day of this year, let this word ring in your ears. Don't fear the year. Don't fear the year. David said, though you keep me sheltered in an air, little Christianese area, though I'm over there, I'm not going to have any problems. No, David said it this way, and even though I'll walk through the valley. He didn't say I'll build my house. He didn't say I'm going to stop there. I'm going to live there. I'm going to grovel in it. I'm going to write a book on it. I need help on it. I'm going to just live in my, some people just love the sorrow. They love to live in that thing. And somebody said, some people love such sorrow. If they don't have it, they'll buy it if they can, you know, so they can just be, no. Don't be, he said, though I walk through those things, you are with me. And I shall live in the house of the Lord forever. Don't fear the ear. Stay alert. Stay awake. Keep your mind sharp in the word. Molded by the word. Let's stand, everybody.